Ever since a white police officer shot an unarmed black teen in Missouri 4 months ago, the word Ferguson has become synonymous with issues of racial justice. But Ferguson also opened up a broader debate about African Americans' interaction with the criminal justice system, conversation which has spilled into Wisconsin, where the incarceration rate for black men at 13% is nearly double the national rate. Protests have spread across the country, including here in Wisconsin, one on the UW-Madison campus, held with hundreds of UW-Madison students, where they staged a march and a die-in. The UW-Madison is hosting a panel discussion tonight looking at Ferguson in context with issues of trauma, violence, and citizenship. William Jones will be part of that conversation that's being held this evening at 5:30 p.m. at the Discovery Building. Will Jones is a professor of history at the UW-Madison and the author of The March on Washington, Jobs, Freedom, and the Forgotten History of Civil Rights. Will, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
And also with us is Deshaun McKinney, a UW student and organizer of the recent Black Lives Matter protest on the UW campus. Deshaun, thank you for coming and being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Deshaun, you organized the Sunday protests on the UW-Madison campus in which hundreds of students participated, and you did this during finals. Why was this moment so important to you as a political organizer?
You mean to do it during finals week?
Right now, to take that moment, you were busy, you had a lot going on. What's important to you about this moment?
I think it was important to leave for break on this note, because everybody's going to be away from campus for a month, and a lot of people on this campus won't have to confront these issues when they're at home and when they're away, so it'd be really easy for them to forget that this is happening. A lot of people will leave and forget that black death is still a reality around the nation and that racism and injustice still happens on this very campus. So I think it was really important to plant that seed in people's minds. And also for a lot of the people who supported and or participated, it was important to just plant that seed that we are starting this movement and that we are working towards change on this campus. And it gave a lot of people hope, and we can come back and hit the ground running.
And what kind of change would you like to see on the campus?
Well, I think what we all want is just to feel like we belong. You know, a lot of people, I've been hearing that Sunday was the first time that they felt proud to call themselves a Badger or an alum. And that's coming from a lot of people who have been here for years, people who are graduating, you know. So I think that's also really beautiful and really heartbreaking at the same time. So we just want to a campus that's more inclusive and that just accepts everybody, that's actually inclusive and not just toting the word around like as a buzzword. So that's the change that we want to see.
And Will, you're the author of The March on Washington, a book that highlights the forgotten history of the civil rights. Looking at it through that lens and the gains of the civil rights era, what do you make of the situation right now post-Ferguson and the movement we're seeing, Deshaun's a part of it, that is trying to open the conversation and build toward real inclusivity?
Yeah, I guess I feel in this past couple of weeks really torn between a really intense feeling of elation and optimism and a sense of dismay and skepticism. I think the optimism comes from seeing things like the protests that Deshaun helped to organize, things like that happening across the country. I think a really serious, you know, the note that you started on, a really serious conversation about things that have been happening in this country for a long time, but have not gained the kind of attention that I think a lot of people across the country are giving it to them really rightly. I guess I'm balancing that sense of that we're in a new moment with what I know as a historian, which is a really long and in some ways unbroken history of this type of racist violence and hyper policing toward African Americans, particularly young black men. I'm actually drawn in my own experience back to when I was a senior in college in 1992. I participated in mass demonstrations that followed the circulation of video of Rodney King being beaten on the Los Angeles freeway. And I think for me and for many of the people that I was in school with, that was a moment of sort of realization of a longstanding problem. after the officers that were seen on video beating Rodney King were acquitted of all their charges, riots broke out around the country. It became the center of a debate in a presidential race. President Clinton, who was elected in the months following those riots, called for a national conversation around race and particularly about police brutality and these issues. And so here we are, you know, now I'm a professor, and here we are having a very similar moment, I think. And so it makes me balance, I think, that optimism with a sense that maybe we're running in circles.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. You said you see this in the context of history, and as you know, history is not one straight line of progress marching into the future. There are dead ends, and there are detours. Looking back at Rodney King and further back, I know tonight you'll be talking about riots in Harlem as well. Where do you see us in that road toward progress?
Well, you know, I don't subscribe to the idea that, you know, history just goes in circles. It certainly also doesn't march in a straight line toward progress. And I wouldn't deny that a lot has changed since 1992 when I was in college, and certainly since 1935, which is when what some people consider the first sort of modern urban riot took place in Harlem. It was sparked by rumors that a young black man was beaten after he was accused of shoplifting in a store in Harlem. And the mayor called for a massive investigation into this problem. The famous black sociologist E. Franklin Frazier was charged with studying the problem, and he came up with a very detailed report, and he concluded that the root of the problem was discrimination in jobs, lack of access to jobs, segregation, and police brutality. And he said, he pointed out that actually it wasn't the case that this young black man was actually beaten. It was just a rumor. But the experience of people living in Harlem had led them to believe that that type of rumor was very believable. It happened over and over and over again. So it didn't matter that in this case it actually hadn't happened. So in this particular case, I think, of racist violence, often by the police or by, in some cases, by private citizens in a sort of vigilante situation similar to what we saw with the case in Florida a few years ago, we have these cases in which I think in some ways we haven't seen much progress, and we haven't seen over a very long time, we've seen these periodic outbursts over this type of behavior with very little actual success in addressing the problem.
And Deshaun, I want to go back to you. Just now, William said that he was torn between dismay and skepticism and hope, you know, elation, lots of different emotions about how to feel at this moment in time. And I wonder where you are on that spectrum, if you're optimistic moving forward, and where you'd like to see the movement, you know, even beyond Wisconsin and the UW campus, go next.
Well, I think I'm very similar in my emotions. I think a lot of people are with this current movement. Is we realize that this isn't something new. That historically there's been a lot of uprisings and protests of these similar things, and the policing of black bodies and things of that nature. So I think in the moments that we have, we are very hopeful, and you feel very powerful and optimistic to be standing with so many people that are supporting your cause and that want this progress to happen. But then we look to history and realize that we're in the same position that our forefathers were, you know, that people who came before us, they did the exact same thing in these same marches. So I think we're also at a point of trying to figure out what works best. Is it these protests? You know, is it peaceful movements? Is it violent movements? Like, where do we go from here? And I think that also translates into the Ferguson. A lot of them are painting as a leaderless movement. And you see things like Al Sharpton being booed off stage and people not happy that he's not letting the youth speak on these stages. So I think that's also a big shift. So that these monoliths from the past movements are not necessarily wanted to lead this one. And I think that's an important shift, too. And it all plays into people trying to figure out exactly what can work and what is worthwhile to pursue. As far as what I hope things to look like, I think that's a very, very large question to tackle. I think that there's so many issues that we are currently fighting against, whether it be the police brutality or just the racism that you face every day. I think really what we're fighting for, when it boils down to, we're just fighting for the right to be human and to be treated as such. We're not. And I think it's really interesting how people paint it as that we feel entitled to something, but we're really just, everything that America says that it stands for is what we are pursuing. And that's exactly what people are trying to stop us from getting. And I don't know, America's never been one to shy away from hypocrisy, and it continues to do so in these movements. So really, we want to be human in this country and treat it the same as everybody else. So a big first step with that is just opening everyone's eyes to their realities, you know, like things such as white privilege that people have such a hard time wrapping their heads around, and things of that nature. So we need to raise this awareness and get people to first understand that these issues exist and the different roles that everybody plays in them, so we can start to make progress.
We're talking right now with UW student Deshaun McKinney and UW professor Will Jones about the debate around Ferguson, race and law enforcement, and the protest movement that has sprung up around this. And we'd like you to join the conversation. What do you think about racial bias as you consider that and law enforcement in Wisconsin? How do you see these issues playing out in your community? And what can be done to overcome these problems and to move forward? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. We're talking now with UW professor Will Jones and UW student organizer Deshaun McKinney is also here with us, talking about the national debate Ferguson ignited around law enforcement and race and how it's playing out here in Wisconsin. And we'd like to hear from you. What is your perception of law enforcement in the state? And as you consider this new national conversation about race issues and justice, where would you like to see the conversation go next? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Will, we're going to take it back through history a little bit more, actually looking at the context of immigration, going back to Japanese internment. How do you see things like the immigration issues that our country is grappling with today as being a piece of the puzzle when we talk about race and identity in America?
Well, I guess I think I see the problem that actually I think Deshaun kind of put his finger on, the question of belonging and citizenship, in the sense of whether there are certain people who are denied sort of basic principles of American citizenship, equal treatment before the law, due process, because of the color of their skin. I think in some ways the internment of Japanese Americans during the Second World War was one of the most pronounced sort of marked examples of this sort of denying of citizenship to people who were citizens, who simply based upon their skin color, their national background. And I think in many ways a lot of the discourse that we see around police brutality, the idea that it's okay to profile people because of the color of their skin, we see that in the immigration debate over that just recently, President Obama issued a prohibition on racial profiling, and he excluded the Border Patrol and the Immigration Service from that, again, on the idea that in some cases it's legitimate to deny people due process and their equal rights simply because of the way they look. And I think that sort of gets at the heart of this problem. And of course, it's not only restricted to African Americans, but I think it goes to the way in which we treat people of color often.
And well, part of the way this plays out is in through laws, through the changing of say racial profiling laws. But there's also a conversation that we can have as a society. Where do you think this is most effectively addressed? With laws, with conversations, all of the above, what do you think is most effective when we consider social issues like this?
Well, like I said, I think the problem of police brutality is a very consistent problem. And I mean, if you look at, I mentioned the 1935 in Harlem, almost every instance of urban unrest in the 1960s was sparked by a case of police brutality. And I think one thing that I think we should need to really seriously contemplate is that one of the only effective responses to this in the 1960s was the position of the Black Panther Party, which was armed self-defense, in which they armed themselves and they patrolled communities specifically to keep police from attacking young Black people. I don't think that is a response that many of us would like to see. In a sense, it's a vigilante response. But that actually was in the case of repeated efforts and calls to address this. This was, in some ways, a position that people were pushed into. And I think we, in terms of thinking about a response, I think we as a society have a responsibility to come up with other responses to this. But if people are victimized in that way, I think that's ultimately the way they respond.
And Deshaun, going back to your comments earlier about belonging, how you'd like to see inclusivity at the UW-Madison campus and not see it be a buzzword, but be something that really held change and brought change with it. Do you know what that would look like as you go about your day as a student here? What would that look like on campus?
Well, I think a big part of it is just the numbers on campus. I think that, I mean, the Black population here is a little less than 3% out of 42,000. So we're a little over 1,200 students on campus. So I think something that people struggle with is they can go an entire day without seeing someone that looks like them. And I think that can be really, really tough for students. So just to get the enrollment numbers up and just to have those practices increased would be very helpful. I also would like to see the university support the people of color organizations on campus more. I know a lot of them that just don't get much funding or any funding at all sometimes, and they really have to scrap together their dollars to put their events on. And for a lot of people of color, these events are the only times like they want to be a part of university things, you know. So the larger university events, people don't feel that it relates to them. I know things such as like UHS, a lot of people don't feel like they're culturally competent, so they don't feel comfortable going there to take advantage of those services. And the same thing with a lot of other academic services on campus. So just the university starting to really reach across cultural lines and just start to understand the other students who make up this campus rather than just the majority of students who make up this campus is important.
And has that changed, do you think, within grasp right now, within a year? Do you see this as being something that could begin to change in the next, you know, maybe tomorrow? Or is this something that we're talking about years in terms of change?
I think overall it's something that's going to take time, but I think the change can start now, definitely. The university has this capacity to start implementing these changes now, and that is what we are going to start to do. I mean, even simple things. You think about the demonstration Sunday, we are currently pressuring the university to put it on its homepage on wish.edu. It's not one of the feature stories. And the university even tweeted itself that it's the largest movement since the civil rights movement. So how could that not be a feature story on your homepage? And so just letting the university know you're taking a much more political stance by not putting it up than you are by putting it up. Because we're not asking them to take a side on it, just simply show what happened on your campus, because that's important and that's relevant. So things like that, see, for us to see that, that's us not feeling included in university. So just, I mean, steps like that can be taken now, and also just start to reach out more to these different organizations and things on campus and get us in the room to sit down and talk, actually connect with us and hear us out and what we need and what we want to see on campus.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining us. And Will Jones, you'll be talking more about this tonight at this panel discussion at 5:30 at the Discovery Building on campus. Anything real quickly that you want to tell people you'll be talking about in particular?
Well, I think I'm going to be one of four professors, and so we'll be part of trying to bring some of our own scholarly background to some of these questions, whether they're historical or literary questions of political science. So I think it will be an interesting conversation. I also want to reiterate Deshaun's point about bringing students into this conversation, and I think that's really critical.
Well, thank you both for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Deshaun McKinney, UW student organizer, and William Jones, a professor of history at UW-Madison.